I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I really can't wrap my head around it. The alerts went out several hours in advance, but the rise in the level of water and how quickly that happened just really was unprecedented for this area, how quickly it happened in that alert and what those individuals had to do to get to safety and what those counselors and camp directors tried to do to get those girls to safety was absolutely unbelievable.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem speaking about the tragedy that we are continuing to watch unfold, the aftermath in Texas and Kerr County. This is a tough one for all of us to watch, to understand the developments. It's important, though, that we know, because we are going to be called upon to help in a real measurable way in the coming days and weeks. We need to know who we're helping and how important it is to do so. Let's speak to our next guest. Welcome to the show, Lawrence Jones, co-host of Fox and Friends at Lawrence B. Jones 3 on X. Lawrence, thank you for the time today. I understand that you are in Texas.
Yes, I am.
So talk to us. I know that you are a Texan, a very proud Texan, and we're very grateful for you to share a little bit of your time here with us on our show in St. Louis. What have you witnessed in your time there on the ground?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. I wish it was on, you know, better circumstances. I've witnessed unity in my home state. I don't expect anything less, but, I mean, the people really showed up here. This is one in a generation, one in 100 years, actually, of a storm. We're talking about, you know, within a 45-minute period, the Guadalupe raising 27 to 30 feet. And those young girls, they didn't have a shot. And, you know, there's, you know, all this politicization of, you know, what should have happened, what technology. But sometimes things are just an act of God, and we learn from them, and we try to plan for future references on how we can save young girls and at camping. You know, they didn't do anything wrong. This is a Christian organization that, if you're from Texas or the surrounding South, a lot of young boys and young girls go to these surrounding camps in Hill Country because of the strong foundation that they provide. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering, asking God, why them? Why does this have to happen right now? But we know that on their way out, these young girls were singing hymns that we've learned from eyewitness accounts, and they knew their Lord and Savior. So, we continue to pray for my home state that the healing takes place. There's still more victims that we still haven't been able to find just yet, just because of the terrain and dealing with some of the weather conditions. But we're hopeful that with all the first responders and volunteers there, that we can bring the family just a little bit of closure. Obviously, nothing will ever replace the lost children.
Yeah. I think about the storytellers right now, the people like you, Lawrence, who are going and inserting yourself back into your home state to tell the stories that are real. And because there's, of course, yeah. You do this every day with Fox and Friends. You're in the muck with the politics of the world. It's a pretty nasty place to be. But there are real stories that need to be told. And it's a tough job to go do what you're doing right now. What stories have you heard or witnessed that you think need to cut through all of that political noise that's taking place right now?
Oh, man. There's so much, so many different stories. Petty Officer Ruskin, who this is his first mission as a Coast Guardsman. And, you know, he's rescued over 100 individuals there on the ground. You see the Navy SEALs that are on the ground volunteering, that are pulling bodies out of the rubble there. You hear the stories of the two young girls that were a part of Camp Mystic, and when they found their bodies, they were still holding hands. The co-owner of the facility who died trying to rescue those girls. I mean, this is truly the best of us. We got to cling to our faith right now because we know God has a plan. But, you know, the stories out there, I mean, there's so many to list. The selfless acts of individuals. You know, I've covered a lot of tragedies, especially these national disasters, even North Carolina. And I remember the residents saying, you know, they had limited volunteers. You had Samaritan Purse, but they didn't see the federal government there. The state wasn't as organized. But in this situation, we've seen people from all across the country, even all across the state, that showed up. You know, you even have an official saying now, like, we have too many people there. Clear the roadway so we can do the job. So I'm grateful for my home state today, even in the midst of this tragedy.
It's from afar here in St. Louis, Missouri, watching this tragedy unfold, but seeing how the community is rallying around. I mean, people working and not sleeping, working and working and working. It's empowering to see that happen in the midst of such a tragedy. I know that Fox specifically, Fox News, has put together a donation link for people who want to be able to donate to a trusted place. What have you seen as far as charity and generosity locally, but also across the country? How can people help?
Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, the organizations have just overwhelmed the city. They've started to turn away all the resources such as, you know, clothes and everything. I would say get a faith-based organization, get a known entity, whether it's the Cajun Navy, Samaritan Purse, obviously our Fox.org. We have a donation page that we're giving directly to organizations that are going to give resources to the victims there. HEB, which is one of our popular stores here, who showed up. I mean, I can go for days of the amount of resources that have shown up for Hill Country, and they're still moving. They're still going through the rubble and giving our first responders the resources and our four-legged heroes the resources that they need.
Yeah, it's so important. The link for the Fox donation we have here is go.fox/TX Flood Relief. And we're putting that up on our live stream as well so people can feel connected to a place that they can trust to send their dollar. Last question. We know you have a lot to do and you got to run. But I do want to ask you a question that I've seen a lot of chatter surrounding this tragedy, this hitting this Christian camp. People are questioning the existence of God and what kind of God would do this. Are you sensing that sort of questioning on the ground there at the location in Texas? How is faith being affected in this
moment? You know, we always ask God why. I mean, this is even people that are strong in their faith wonder, God, why? But I would point them to those young girls, even some of them on their way to getting drug out by this supernatural storm, were singing hymns. They knew who God was, and they kept him close, and they accepted him into their life. I point to the young girls that even after they survived, said that they want to come back to camp, even though in the midst of their grief. And so, yes, we do question God. We do question why did this have to happen. I said this morning on Fox because, you know, you get discouraged, you know, you're covering these tragedies. There's just not numbers to you, especially when it's so close to home. You know, we all know individuals that were impacted, families that are friends of the family that were impacted by this, and you question God. But all we have is our faith. All we have is our Jesus Christ to lean on in these moments. And so I think as a state, as a country, we're going to leave this situation stronger.
Lawrence Jones, amen. Amen to that. Thank you for going to do the reporting that you're doing and for sharing a little bit of your time here with us on 97.1 FM Talk. We're really grateful for it.
Thank you so much, my friend. You
Take
have
care.
A good one.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. Lawrence Jones, the co-host of Fox and Friends. Gosh, Ryan, I can't hardly talk about this story.
Yeah. I know that what we do means that we need to be on top of it. All weekend, I was doing the same thing. I did not want to look at the story because it's hard to handle.
I can't stand the details.
Every single one of those girls has a family. They have stories.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history. a 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's not much more that you can say than exactly what Lawrence Jones just said.
Yeah. The other thing is that I can get particular watching people talk about it. And if it feels as though they're sensationalizing it, it's a big turnoff. And I've seen politicians put themselves in situations like this and feel like, my first question is, why are you there? Because in my mind, the politician is just there. A politician is always running a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And this is like not the time for that. But in true definition of what any sort of politician is supposed to do and be and who they serve are these people. Do they need to be there? I think they do. Do they need to be front and center speaking for the people? If they're okay, if they're good at it, if they understand how to use the attention, the spotlight that would come to them and immediately reflect it onto the cause, the people. If you show up and the spotlight descends on you and you bask in that light, I have a great sensitivity to that. And I certainly don't. I'm not a politician, but I am certainly someone who, in one essence or another, am working on popularity. Like, if you don't listen to the show, then you won't hear me for very long. That's the way it goes. But these are incredibly difficult stories. I mean, these are, what'd they say, 8, 9-year-old girls?
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn's 9. I can't, like, the second I go there, I have to actively change my focus, like count to 10 or something to get out of the thoughts that come into my head next.
This isn't the first time we've ever seen a tragedy happen. My kids are going to camp next week, though. And it wasn't until I had kids and that I could put them in those situations that I began to not be able to really handle these kind of stories. You know, it's weird. I know these things hit you even harder just from knowing you. And I'm not trying to put the spotlight back on you. I'm just, this weekend I was thinking about you because that's something that I thought you, my wife, people in my life that I know really absorb these kinds of things. And I was like, if I can't even handle it, I can't imagine what, gosh, I mean, the whole country's going through this. The whole country is watching this and feeling what we're talking about right now.
I actually think about, this reminds me of the Friends episode where Phoebe is trying to do a completely selfless act and she does something selfless, but then she feels good about it and she's like, well, now it's not selfless. But when the burdensome despair that I feel when I think about my kid being involved in something like that feels wrong to even allow myself to feel the despair that I'm imagining, because there are people who are really experiencing this right now.
I get it.
It's like, I could come onto the show here and I can talk about, you know, I'm a mom. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, in the essence of what we're talking about with these families who are experiencing what they're experiencing, I don't want anybody's empathy because I'm having a bad thought. And I'll feel a level of guilt for even, like, I'm going to tell you this quick story and then we're going to go to break. I was at a baseball game last night and the weather last night was pristine. It was perfect. It was probably 86 degrees. I should have looked. Perfect temperature.
It's too warm.
Well, it was my perfect, not your perfect. I'm sitting at the baseball game. My husband's coaching. It's a league in the Metro East. It's called Merble. It's Metro East Recreational Baseball League. High school players. They are people who play on very highly competitive baseball teams during the school year with their school that do really well that want to just play baseball in the summer. But they're also on the team potentially with what you would consider rec ball players. But it's just about baseball fun. It's not this travel ball craziness, and I'll do another show at another day about that. But my husband's coaching this team, and he's out there, and it's low to no pressure. My son's catching. The boys are having fun. Kids who don't normally succeed are having some success. Kids that maybe do regularly have success are maybe getting out, and people are patting them on the back and telling them it's okay. It's just like the world in that moment felt really right and good. I posted a picture of Molly bringing me a bunch of flowers. You can look at the picture and assess the flower situation that she picked from the grass. And I felt like I want to take a picture of this moment because this is a perfect moment. There's nothing special about it. It's just a moment. And all I could do is sit there and think about this. There's going to be a moment in my life at some point in the future where everything feels upside down from this. And when you're having those upside down moments, other people are experiencing a perfect moment. It's just important to be kind and to be calm in all of them because you don't ever understand what somebody's going through. And when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, I'm there with my family and I'm just enjoying it, that simultaneously a despair that I can't even fit into my head. And once it starts to creep in, I have to stop it because I feel like it's consuming, that's going on somewhere else. The only thing that compensates for that is a peace that we can't muster ourselves. And the encouragement that I have for anybody who's listening right now who prays, don't tell people you're going to pray for them. Instead of saying, you'll be in my prayers, say a prayer for them, text them a prayer, send a prayer, pray with them. It can be two sentences. Lord, have mercy. You know, grant me peace, grant them peace. Send the prayer. Don't send the intention to pray. Take it a step further and be active. Let's take a quick break. Let's go away.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.